Good afternoon. This is Live and Local. It's your connection to local performances. I'm Kevin Kelly. Thank you very much for joining us this afternoon. And on today's show, coming up, we will be having a live preview in our studio of the upcoming production by the Champaign-Urbana Theater Company called Urinetown, that really quite funny musical in spite of the name. And this is the annual Kathy Murphy student production. So kids who are high school age and younger will be participating in that. It opens on the 13th of June and runs through the 23rd. And we'll be hearing some of the songs live coming up later this half hour. But first, a feature on a program that is happening at the Hoagland Center for the Arts in Springfield Saturday night. It's called A Night with Mark Gifford and Damian Kaplan. They are duo pianists, or dueling pianists, as they sometimes bill themselves. And I'll be talking with Mr. Gifford coming up very shortly on Live and Local. Probably recognize that music, but perhaps not in quite the version that you just heard. It was the so-called Minute Waltz by Frédéric Chopin. It was played here by tubist Patrick Sheridan, along with pianist Rich Ridenour. Of course, the piece normally played on piano. It is going to be one of the pieces played by a pair of dueling pianists, and I'm told that it'll be perhaps not exactly done normally, so that's why I thought I'd introduce it by tuba. What I'm talking about here on Live and Local is a program called A Night with Mark Gifford and Damian Kaplan. It's going to be at the Hoagland Center for the Arts in Springfield Saturday night at 7 o'clock. And on the phone with me now from Springfield is Mark Gifford, who is both pianist and an organist, interestingly a theater organist, and also a pastor. So thanks, Mark, for joining us on the show today.
I'm honored to be part of the program. Thank you.
So I'm going to ask about your partner first, only because I don't have really much information about him, Damian Kaplan. Since I'm not in Springfield, and while our Springfield listeners may well know who he is, why don't you give us a bit of what you know about him?
Damian is the vocal director at Springfield High School. He also is the director and does a lot of arranging for what are known as Lincoln's Troubadours. And when you're visiting our capital city and you're downtown and there's a group of people in period costumes that are singing the period songs of the day along the streets and in and out of the Presidential Museum and all over downtown, Damian is the director and the arranger for that group also.
Well, now that sounds like something maybe to have a conversation with him about someday, because that's
I would think you would enjoy it.
Something I hadn't known about.
Yeah.
Okay, so he is a professional musician then, and certainly in the schools.
Very much so.
And I have seen in your own biography that you call yourself, a hobbyist in music.
Well, I mean, I'm a minister of music at my church. I'm the pastor of the church right now. We had two. The senior pastor of our church is now the adjutant general for Illinois Army Guard. General Crumroy used to be the pastor at our church, and so I was his associate. And now the job is mine for a while. But yeah, I'm the music minister of the congregation. And then, like you all have the organ at the Virginia Theater there in town. They tore down the Orpheum Theater in Springfield and put it in Springfield High School. And I've been the house organist and concert organist on that for the last 20 years.
Wow. And you got into that in kind of an interesting way.
Yeah, I grew up down in Belleville and Granite City area and was going to the Fox Theater and would watch Stan Kahn play the instrument there. And I was one of those kids that was, I got to do that.
And there was,
I got to do that.
This was an organ that was actually in a sixth grade classroom?
Well, the sixth grade classroom, they put an organ, the local music store put an organ in one sixth grade classroom to see if any kids would get interested in it. And that to me was my hook right there. And so we started lessons, and it was part of the school. And of course, you know, the music store, if they saw someone who took to it, the idea was to sell an organ, you know, to the family. And that was a tremendous expense when I was in sixth grade, but Mom and Dad went with it, and the rest is history.
So is this one of those, I used to call, and maybe they call them this themselves, a Wurlitzer Fun organ, or was it something different?
I had a Lowry Holiday Deluxe.
Okay, but it had lots of different sounds on it, I bet you.
Oh, man, I just wallowed in it. You know, you could change the sound from one to another, and for a kid who was in sixth grade, this was just the greatest thing ever. You know, and I'd watch the guy play organ at church, or I'd watch the lady that played piano, and I thought, I got to do this. And now here, several years later, I'm the director at my church and teach the young kids how to do that.
How long have you been doing theater organ stuff?
Oh, gosh. I got into that as a hobbyist back in the early 80s. And I had a chance during my junior college years to take organ lessons from Stan Kahn at the Fox Theater. And that was expensive, and I drove from southern Illinois. The family had moved down to Mount Vernon, and I drove from Mount Vernon to St. Louis to take those lessons. And that sort of was just the extra log on the fire to get everything going.
So now you're actually playing fairly regularly on the Fox Theater organ in St. Louis yourself.
I'm one of the lobby organists. There's two in the Fox Theater in St. Louis, and I play lobby organ before the shows whenever I can. And then, yes, I assure you, whenever we can get our hands on the big instrument, we do it.
There can't be that many places that have two organs in one facility.
Oh, not at all.
Have you had a chance to play the one over here at the Virginia Theater since it's
not
been restored?
Not yet, but I'm certainly open to that invitation.
Well, if any appropriate person is listening, there you go.
There you go.
Give me a call, and I'll let you know how to get in touch with Mark.
You bet. I would love it. I knew the Warren York, who played there for years, God
yeah.
rest his soul. I knew him very well and had a great respect for his ability also.
But there's not going to be any organ on this concert Saturday night,
nope.
Or is there?
Two Steinway grands.
Oh, that's right. These were a gift of one of the music stores.
The Steinway dealership is sponsoring three concerts over the weekend. There's a classical concert Friday night. Aldo and his wife Julie Mancinelli.
Mm-hmm.
I say it wrong. Maybe I said it right. They're Friday night at the Hoagland, and again, the two grands will be there for them. Then Damien and I are the family fun show on Saturday night, and then there's a cabaret show doing the Judy Garland duets that is part of Sunday afternoon.
And in fact, on tomorrow's show, I'll be talking with at least one of the duettists I'll be talking to on tomorrow's Live and Local.
It's going to be a great program.
Well, it sounds like it. So they just brought the pianos in for this particular weekend?
You betcha. They brought them in for the weekend and then invited all of us that are performing to have the joy of their instruments, and it's just exciting fun.
I understand you just started this dual piano thing with Damien in December?
We have first night here in Springfield on New Year's Eve, and they were looking for more acts. And I was talking with the directors, and I said, you know what, let me talk to Damien. Let's see if we can put together a dual piano concert. Well, they were all about that. And they put us in Theater 3 of the Hoagland, and we packed the theater. We had everybody singing along with us and clapping and having a great time and a wonderful reaction to the concert. And we decided, no, this is something we have to do more of.
I know the program's going to be quite varied, and while I don't have a duo piano version of this particular tune, I thought I'd give folks a sample of at least some of the music that will show up in your versions. This is, of course, a very familiar melody called Sweet Georgia Brown. It's played here by the Dick Hyman Group, featuring Howard Alden. Happens to have been used in the motion picture Sweet and Low Down, Woody Allen's movie. And it's heard on Live and Local. We're talking about A Night with Mark Gifford and Damien Kaplan that's going to happen at the Hoagland Center for the Arts in Springfield Saturday night. Sweet Georgia Brown, played by the Dick Hyman Group here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly. My guest is Mark Gifford, who is a half of a piano duo that's going to be playing in Springfield Saturday night at the Hoagland Center for the Arts. And I forgot to really say anything about it. I played the minute waltz on tuba at the beginning, and I said that on this concert you're going to do it sort of normally, but then not sort of normally, and I guess that's typical of some of what you do with or to some of the songs in these programs. You want to elaborate on that for me?
With great honor to the ghost of Victor Borga. Damien starts playing the song and plays it flawlessly, and at the right moment, I simply interrupt him. And when I interrupt him, I'm doing a tune that has nothing to do with the minute waltz whatsoever. And at the right moment, he interrupts me and goes back into the minute waltz. Pretty soon into the song, I interrupt him and go back into another completely different song that comes down to the point in the minute waltz where there's the long trill. And as I'm making the trill, well, let's just say during that trill, we switch pianos.
Ah. Well, that sounds acrobatic.
I almost fell off the bench the other night when we were practicing.
That's what practice is for, right?
Exactly. Exactly. So we pay honor to great classic music. At the same time, we have fun with it where it's appropriate.
And the who's to say what's appropriate? I guess that's the catch, isn't it?
Well, usually it's the two guys on stage and the audience just has to go along with them.
That's what I figured.
Yeah. It's either funny or it's tragic, and we hope it's really funny.
And I imagine you play some of the songs straight.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Unlike Victor Borge, we actually do finish the whole song.
You know, I saw him when I was a kid. I don't remember how long ago that was. And, of course, I see him on TV. And, yeah, now that you mention it, that was sort of a hallmark, wasn't it? That
yeah.
Nothing ever got finished in his...
The last time I saw him at the Fox Theater, the first half of the concert was all that comedy. The second half of the concert, he finished every song he started. And the audience just absolutely went bonkers with delight over it because, of course, he was a brilliant musician.
And was that typically what he would do the second half?
No, that was sort of the end of the career kind of thing.
And so he thought he'd prove that he could still play a whole
Yeah,
a whole
at least
piece.
One of them.
How do you, a little bit seriously, how do you decide what is an appropriate song or an appropriate moment to inject some comedy?
Truly, that's where musicianship comes into play. There are some songs that just don't work to do something to them. There are some songs where you've just got to play them all the way through and play them correctly, because if you don't, it's not that it's not funny, it's just bad. You know, it's not in good taste. I'll give you an example. Just about every kid that learns proper piano lessons learns how to play the Happy Farmer. And the kids usually loathe it by the time they get it learned, and the parents are so tired of listening to it, they can't stand it. But it's a part of the process of playing. So we play it correctly once, and then we do three versions of improv, jazz, waltz, what Tchaikovsky would have done to it. And what you find is all of the students start smiling and laughing along with it. The teachers are all going, oh, no, what have you done? And the parents are going, how come you can't play it like that? So we tried it in the first concert to see what would happen, and the audience went absolutely crazy over it.
I'm looking at the list of at least some of the songs you're going to be doing. I'm trying to make a couple of guesses as to which songs might be sacrosanct and which ones might not be. I'm going to guess, I'm probably wrong, I'm going to guess that one that you could make a lot of fun of is Memory from Cats.
We can, but we don't.
Okay.
We play that one serious. That's one of those, the reason why we do it is Springfield High this spring did Cats as their musical.
Hmm.
And so when we first did it in a concert, we were sort of pre-advertising the musical. And so now it's become that people want to hear what happens when two pianos play that tune, and it's just lovely.
And yeah. Now I'm going to guess that Tonight from West Side Story is one you don't mess with.
But we put as many wonderful driving flourishes in that as we possibly can, and it's just wonderful. There's a spot in Tonight where I'm up on the upper end of the piano and Damien is playing on the lower end of his pianos, and he does a run up the piano and I do a run down the piano, and the two pianos intersect with each other, and suddenly he's on the top end of the piano and I'm playing on the lower end of the piano.
And it somehow preserves the tune.
Absolutely.
Well, I'm not going to keep guessing here because I'm clearly not doing very well.
We keep Claire de Lune. We keep Claire de Lune sacred, and the same thing with the final cut of Rhapsody in Blue.
Ah, fair enough. Yeah, that.
Yeah.
Is something
after that I'm not promising anything.
Well, promising a great deal of mayhem is what it sounds like to me.
In the bio, we put that with the ghosts of Victor Borge, Ferrati, and Teicher and Liberace, they run amok in the room.
Running amok is a
great
expression.
Running amok in the room while we play and do what we do.
And we are Mark Gifford and Damien Kaplan. They are going to be playing dual pianos at the Hoagland Center for the Arts in Springfield Saturday night at 7 o'clock. I was delighted to learn about it and have a chance to get hold of you on pretty short notice, Mark. So thanks very much for making yourself available, and have a lot of fun with the show. I'm sure that the audience will certainly do that.
We will have a great time, and thank you for letting us promote the event.
And here is one of the tunes that Mark claims they will do without adulteration, and it's certainly a well-known and quite lovely one. It comes from the Suite Bergamasque of Claude Debussy. Its French title, Clair de Lune, which, by the way, simply means moonlight. It's played here by pianist Alexis Weissenberg. That was one of the few tunes that will be played straight, as it were, on the concert by pianists Mark Gifford and Damian Kaplan on Saturday night at the Hoagland Center for the Arts in Springfield. Here it was played by Alexis Weissenberg, Clair de Lune, or Moonlight from the Suite Bergamasque of Claude Debussy. Heard here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. Our broadcast is made possible with support from Sweeney Brothers Carpet and Rug Gallery of Bloomington, an authorized Karastan broadloom and rug dealer at 11 Westport Court on Bloomington's east side. Sweeney Brothers, where the beauty of a room starts with the floor. And while we started with dueling pianos, we are going to continue with a musical about urine. I guess. It's called Urinetown. It is a musical, and it is a comedy, and I've seen it, and it's very funny, and it's really quite good. I enjoyed it immensely. It was the Parkland College Theater production, I believe, in Champaign. I don't know how many years ago it's been now. It is the next production by the Champaign-Urbana Theater Company, and it is this year's Kathy Murphy student production. And it will open on June the 13th, continue through the 23rd with evening performances Thursdays through Saturdays and afternoon performances on Sundays. We have with us several members of the cast, also the stage director, who is Tim Broker, and the music director, who is Cullen Murphy, and just about everybody who is in this room is a virtual veteran of this radio show, especially through the musicals at Champaign Central High School. I recognize a bunch of students from there. And apparently the fact that they do good musicals at that school is reflected in the audition results at this particular show. So, Tim, I'm going to keep calling you Tom. I think it's the Tom Brokaw thing. It just occurred to me that may be what happens. Tim Broker and Cullen Murphy, who are the kind of different halves of the directorship here. Thanks for coming in. Thanks for bringing your colleagues. And I could imagine any of a number of answers, but what's your answer to the notion of why Urinetown for kids?
Urinetown is a newer musical, and I think the story, the music, appeals a lot probably to more youthful audiences.
Because of the possibility of bathroom humor?
Right, probably. I mean, obviously the premise of the show is that people have to pay to use the bathrooms because of a water shortage, and there's a company that kind of is in charge of all of that and raises the prices, and so we have all these poor people who can't afford to use the bathrooms, and so they kind of start a rebellion. But it's also a play on musical theater in general. There's a lot of puns and references to other shows in musical or other popular musicals, and I think that a lot of the students that are in our show, or all the students that are in our show, are interested in musical theater, and so I think that's kind of fun for them as well.
And Colin, have you been involved in this show in any capacity?
Yes. We did this as at Champaign Central High School in my senior year. We did this production.
I couldn't remember. Did you guys come in here and do something?
Yes, we did.
On the radio show? Yeah, well, my memory is very short term, as many people tell you. And I imagine that was fun.
It was. It was a really enjoyable show, and that's one of the things that attracted me so much about putting this show on for a wider range of students, because it's a show that not a lot of people have an opportunity to see as well as perform in. And so I just remembered how much fun I had with the music, and I knew that I really wanted to give that opportunity to more kids in the area.
I've lost track of you a little bit. Last I knew, you were at Illinois State University.
Still at Illinois State University.
Yes. And what year are you there?
Now I'm a junior, going into my junior year in music education and music composition.
So how is it for you to come back and direct some of the folks who you may well have been in shows with in high school?
That was an interesting process. I assistant conducted Thoroughly Modern Millie last summer. And so, obviously, being the music director is a completely different responsibility from that.
And that was the student production.
Also,
that year,
yes. Yeah. And so this has been a really enjoyable process for me. And I had some reservations going into it. I was a little worried about how that relationship would be with the students and how they would react to me, I guess, in certain teaching teaching episodes, I guess, teaching your peers almost is a little difficult at times. But they were very accepting. They've always been very well attentive, and they've just been a thrill to work with. And it's really great getting to push my friends in like in a positive direction with this show.
Well, I don't see any facial expressions suggesting that they're disagreeing with you.
Well, that's all I can hope for.
I mean, there are ways that these could be given away, but they're not showing up, at least in
not
the
yet.
Room at the moment. Not yet. Well, I know you've got three songs you're planning to do from the show. Let me introduce everybody who is in the room. Hopefully I'll get everybody's names right and your respective characters in the role of Hope Cladwell, Kate Myers, who, let's see, I saw in, you were Maria in West Side Story, I believe, and was the student production a couple years ago? Two years ago? Yeah. Nice job. I don't know if I had a chance to tell you since then, but this is also testing my memory. Adrian Rochelle, now you're actually in the Rebel Chorus. What does that mean exactly?
Well, I'm actually the leader of the Rebel Chorus. I'm Hot Blades Harry, and basically
Hot Blade Terry.
Hot Blades Harry, and basically we hit a point in the musical where we're just tired of paying, and then Bobby helps us stand up, and we just kind of rebel and take over the company eventually with the help of Bobby and Hope.
And Bobby is Bobby Strong, who is with us and played by Quinn Murphy. Very close relation to Colin Murphy.
Pretty close.
Pretty close. And let's see, in the role of Penelope Pennywise, which is a splendid name. There's a few of those in here. Emma Squire. I don't remember who your character is.
Pennywise runs the poorest, filthiest urinal in town, which is where the entire Rebel Chorus frequents to use the bathroom, I guess. And she takes her job very seriously and really doesn't take anything from anybody. She's very manly and dirty, I guess.
Dirty in more than a couple of ways.
Yes.
Okay, just making some guesses here.
Oh, yeah.
And then in the role of, do you have a last name, Beryl?
No, I'm just Beryl.
Just Beryl.
Officer is my first name, I guess.
Officer Beryl. Well, one of the policemen who are not the friends of the rebels, I gather, played here by Daniel Howie. Another sibling, your brother.
Tommy.
Oh, cousin.
Yeah.
Oh, cousin, not brother. Tommy has been on the show before. In the role of, now I get it, Lockstock and Beryl, both policemen, John J. Nolden, who's been on this show many times. And yet another wonderful, see there you have to have both names together. And then as the, what are all the names you could come up with? Certainly evil would be one of them, sinister, generally not very nice. Caldwell B. Cladwell, who runs, what was the name of the company?
The Urine Good Company.
Urine Good Company, yeah. Right. Victor Muscovias.
Muscovias, it's close enough.
Isn't that what he told me ahead of time? It was. It's being vouched for. I'm being vouched for. I definitely have my favorite name of the songs you're planning to do, but what do you have you want to do first?
We'll be doing Don't Be the Bunny.
That's the one.
And I believe Victor could introduce it for us.
Don't Be the Bunny is a song about me trying to explain to my daughter, Hope Cladwell, the way of the world, or at least the way of the world as I see it. I'm a very, cruel person. I believe that if someone wants to disobey me, I should send all my police officers to go over and beat them up. But Hope has this weird idea that there's human dignity and beating people is wrong somehow, which I totally don't agree with, and I try to convince her that her way of life is wrong. A little bunny in the meadow is nibbling grass without a care. He's so delightful as he hops for you. You say, "Hi, bunny," and he stops for you. You pull your trigger and he drops for you. Goodbye, bunny boo. Hello, rabbit stew. Get me, boys?
You tell him, boss!
Don't be the bunny, don't be the stew. Don't be the dinner, you have better things to do. It ain't no joke, that's why it's funny. So take your cue. Don't be the bunny, don't be the bunny.
But Daddy, we're talking about people, not animals.
People are animals, Hope dear.
Animals with huge incisors and big floppy feet?
Look closely, you'll see them. I do. I see them everywhere. A little bunny in a toll booth. He needs a measly 50 cents. Our little bunny didn't plan ahead. Poor bunny simply hasn't got the bread. He begs for mercy, but gets jail instead. Huss and peppers in the air as the bunny gets the chair. See the moral, people.
Clear as day, boss.
Don't be the bunny. Don't be the dope. Don't be the loser. You're much better than that, Hope. You're born to power. You're in the money. Advice to you.
And read the bunny.
Don't be the bunny.
Little bunny at a toll booth?
You heard me.
But Daddy, bunnies don't drive cars.
Oh, don't they?
No, actually, I don't think they do.
Live long enough, Hope dear, and you see many things.
Even a daughter doubting her father.
A little bunny in a shoebox. He thinks he's found a brand new home. So snug and cozy on your closet floor. And then you open up your closet door. Now what's that bunny in my closet for? With a mallet and some clippers, you find out new bunny slippers! Grasp the message, staff!
Right behind you, boss!
Don't be the bunny, don't be the shoe. You don't get stepped on. No, the one who steps is you!
You're stepping up to where it's sunny. Step on the poor. Don't be the bunny. Don't be the bunny. Whoa, whoa.
From the musical Urinetown, in the production that is being sponsored by the Champaign-Urbana Theater Company, the annual Kathy Murphy student production, we heard in the role of Caldwell B. Cladwell, Victor
Muscovius.
Muscovius, there you go. That's what I said the first time. I thought. And in the role of his daughter, Hope, Kate Myers at the piano, is the music director for the production, Colin Murphy. Colin Murphy, by the way, and younger brother Quinn are, in fact, the nephews of Kathy Murphy.
Yes.
Murphy. Why can I not say her name? A good friend of mine from, she passed away how many years ago now? It's been several, I guess.
It was when Les Mis the second time was, so that was 4 years ago.
About 4 years ago. And one of the founders of the Champaign-Urbana Theater Company and one of the instigators of the notion of the student production, and so hence it has been named after her. Actually, Tim Brooker is the stage director for this. Always curious about how one chooses some of the actors, and I'm just sort of looking at Victor here, for example, and thinking he looks like a fine, upstanding guy. He might even be a fairly nice fellow. He smiles easily, and yet he's cast as a villain.
I get to work with Victor at Urbana High School, and he's had a lot of interesting roles, and I thought that Cladwell would be a challenge for him. And there's an inspiration a little bit behind his version of Cladwell. We think it's a lot like Mr. Burns from The Simpsons, more so than like...
I am forgetting who that character is.
He's kind of the... he's like Cladwell.
Okay. Yeah. He sets pounds on people, that's his name.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think, and Victor's done pretty well with it so far, so it's definitely worth it.
And what do you do at Urbana?
I teach there, and I am the director of theater.
You are the director of theater, Yep. Okay. Who was your predecessor? I'm forgetting.
Greg Chu.
Greg Chu, yeah. Well, I'm kind of curious in casting whether knowing things about people you've worked with either at school as a teacher in your case, Tim, or at school as a colleague, Cullen, whether that was really an advantage or a disadvantage in casting.
I think we came to the audition process with a pretty just open eye as to all the people that come into this production. I think that's a reoccurring process that goes every year, is you have that conflict of often there are teachers that work at schools that do this show, but it's really easy just to, as people who enjoy theater as much as we do, to just look at it as how can we do what's best for this show and what will better help educate the students that we have, because we have to keep in mind this is educational theater for them still, and so that's, we're just trying to put people in the best places that we think for them.
So talk about the educational component, particularly when you're talking about a show with a name like You're in Town.
Well, it's really important. I think what's great about the show, I think Tim mentioned earlier, is that it's such a musical theater goers show, and that there are a lot of themes and little shticks that go on throughout the entire show that are very reminiscent of other prominent musical theater moments throughout history. And so it's really important to illustrate those for the students that are working on the show. And it's important that the staff has had a lot of experience with theater, and we can give them as much knowledge that we can pour into their head as possible that we would like to share with them. So
you have some examples between the two of you of the sort of references to classic things going on in musical?
Well, there are some very... What is You're in Town, which is the opening song in the second act, is very reminiscent of Fiddler on the Roof.
There's the whole idea with the rebellion. And,
yeah, the rebellion of Les Mis.
There's a lot of Les Mis in there.
Yeah, a lot of that. And just little, there are funny moments that reoccur throughout the entire show of, for instance, when there are big moments of someone entering a scene, the entire chorus reacts together in sort of a shocked manner that's over the top and comical. It's very cheesy and plays into that campy style of musical theater that's very prominent.
So some of that stuff is written and is not, the directors are told this is what you do.
It's very prominent, and whether it be the stage directions that are written inside the script or just how the script is written in general or the music, it's all just very over the top, which I think is what they're playing into as a major theme of this show.
Well, certainly the topic is more than a bit over the top.
Yeah.
It's really an uncomfortable notion to think about, to say the least. You mentioned the basic premise of the show, which is that people have to pay to use the bathroom because there's a terrible water shortage caused by a 20-year drought, and so a government-enforced ban on private toilets, and a rebellion against what is essentially the abuse of this by this. You're in good company. UGC, we'll just say. But what happens? There's a hero, right?
Yeah,
who comes out of somewhere.
Bobby Strong kind of becomes the hero as he leads the rebellion, essentially, of the poor people. We don't want to give away the ending, but it's not necessarily a happy ending. Mm-hmm.
Come find out.
There are some. I do remember there are some things that happened that are not happy.
Right, definitely.
I don't remember what they are. So.
Some people don't make it to the end of the show. Some of the characters don't make it. And I think there's definitely like a serious message or something kind of underlying that says that people, kind of live beyond their means. And they know that we have these resources, but they may use more of the resources than they should. And that maybe the audience will leave thinking a little bit about that as well. Maybe not necessarily thinking about going to the bathroom. But.
Yeah, I think that's one of those things that most of us would rather use less often than perhaps we do. Too much information. Right, what do you got next?
We will be performing Follow Your Heart with Quinn as Bobby and Kate Myers as Hope, and they can introduce the song for you.
So this song is kind of when Bobby and Hope first meet. They're both kind of
walking home from work, I guess, and they just kind of bump into each other, and she has, like, this whole thing, as Cladwell was talking earlier, hope is, you know, very optimistic, very, like, the world is so bright and happy, and you should always do what's right because that's what feels right. And Bobby kind of has never heard that because he came from, like, the slums and mm-hmm. has always lived in that area his whole life, so he's never had someone that's like, you should really, like, do what just feels right to you, and maybe that will make you feel better about yourself. When darkness surrounds you and you lose your way, you have your own compass that turns night to day, and it's even with you before you depart. Be still, hear it beating, it's leading you, follow your heart.
Follow my heart, but to where?
To wherever your heart tells you to go.
Even there?
Even to the clouds, if that's what your heart commands. What's it saying now?
I don't know. I don't know how to listen to my heart.
You have to listen carefully. Here, let me try.
Do you?
Shh! Oh, there it is. It's saying, we all want a world filled with peace and with joy, with plenty of water for each girl and boy. That bright shining world is just waiting to start. No meanness or sorrow, just cleanness tomorrow, if only you follow your heart. You see there? Even your heart knows you should follow your heart.
Peace and joy. Plenty of water. I guess I do want those things.
There's something else your heart was saying. Maybe something I shouldn't have heard.
There was?
Well, I think so. It was barely audible, but I definitely heard something.
Well, what was it?
Let me try again. Maybe I can make it out this time. There it is. So faint. It's saying, follow into the open air, far from squalor and noise. Follow, someone is waiting there. Someone who shares all your hopes and your joys. Someone is waiting there? Why? My heart was saying those exact words just the other day.
It was?
Oh, sure it was. Squalor and noise, hopes and joys. It was telling me about all those things.
I didn't know two hearts could speak as one.
I didn't either. Until now. Here, listen.
Someday I'll meet someone whose heart joins with mine. Aortas and arteries all intertwined. They'll beat so much stronger than they could apart. 8 chambers of muscle to hustle the love in our heart.
Love is kind and considerate. Love is peaceful and fair. Love can creep up so suddenly. When you least think of it, your love is there. We all want a world filled with peace and with joy, with plenty of justice for each girl and boy. That bright shining world is just waiting to start. No anger or badness, just laughter and gladness. If only I follow your heart.
From the musical Urinetown, we heard in the role of Hope Cladwell, Kate Myers, and in the role of Bobby Strong, the hero, Quinn Murphy. here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. Urinetown is it the seventh annual, sixth annual?
It's the eighth.
Yes. Eighth, really? Oh. I should remember these things because I was the music director for the first, as a matter of fact, which was Les Miserables. This is the eighth annual Kathy Murphy student production at the Champaign-Urbana Theater Company, which is taking place at Parkland College Theater Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, June 13, 14, and 15, and June 20, 21, and 22. Those performances at 7:30. And then two matinees on Sundays, the 16th and 23rd at 2:30. So that is next Thursday, I guess, is opening night. And so they're about to go into Tech Week soon enough. And I know how those things go. You never feel quite ready. Do you all feel ready?
Yes.
Yeah.
There we go.
That was
good.
Yes.
A little hesitation. Yeah.
Hey, if you had said no, that would have been perfectly normal, by the way. That's just how these things go. Yes, Victor, you may change your answer. Our program today is made possible with support from Krannert Center for the Performing Arts, announcing the 2013 and 14 season featuring El Nora, the Guitar Festival, Chicago Symphony Orchestra, Diavolo, Nathan and Julie Gunn and Friends, Joshua Redman Quartet, and more. Tickets are on sale Saturday, August 10th at 10 a.m. And I actually saw a YouTube clip of this next song. It seems to me to be rather funny, and so I'm looking forward to it. It is going to be performed by the policeman named Lock, Stock, and Barrel. That's two of them, not three. And with backing policemen from around the room. It's called The Cop Song. There's a story behind it.
Okay, so basically the show is called Urinetown, but the town is not called Urinetown, so the audience is kind of confused as to what Urinetown exactly is. So you don't really get to see it until about halfway through Act 2, but in this song you kind of get hints and clues as to what Urinetown exactly is.
I mean, what it's really called?
Right, exactly.
Yeah, okay. In the role of Lockstock is John J. Nolden, who was just speaking. In the role of Beryl, Daniel Howey. And at the piano, Cullen Quinn. Cullen. Cullen Murphy. Sorry.
Oh, it's a hard, cold tumble of a journey, worthy of a gurney, a bumble down, a slapped face, smacked with a mace, certain to debase as I stumble down. It's a path that leads you only one place, horrible to retrace, a crumble down, a hard, cold tumble of a tourney, jumble of a journey to Urinetown.
Julie Cassidy went to a field behind a tree, saw there was no one who could see her pee
but me.
And Jacob Rosenblum thought he was safe up in his room. Didn't know the jars he kept up there would obligate a trip to a urine tomb.
Well, there are those who think our method's vicious.
Overly malicious.
A bunch of brutes, but it's we who gather for the people.
Tap into the steeple.
Lawful fruits. Our task, bring a little order.
Swindle out a hoarder.
From what he loots, as the book says, certainly a season.
Trample out of trees and
with hobnail boots.
Roger Roosevelt kept a cup below his belt. Cup ran over when he knelt. He smelt.
We dealt.
And Joseph, old man strong, held his pee for much too long. Hoped his son might bail him out. His guess was good, but also wrong.
Well, years passed, all lived in the jungle, scooping out a bungle, nature's bowl. Life of constant deprivation, certain aggravation took its toll. Soon learned power of the truncheon, organized a function, king to pawn. So, if peace is what you're after, Urinetown's the rafter to hang it on.
Julie Cassidy,
Jacob Rosenblum,
Roger
Jacob Rosenblum,
Julie Cassidy.
Don't be like them, don't be like them, don't be like them, don't be like them, don't be.
Oh, it's a hard, cold, tumble of a journey, body of a journey, a bundle down, a slapped face, smacked with a mace, certain to the base as I stumble down. It's a path that leads to only one place, horrible to retrace, a crumble down, a hard, cold, tumble of a journey, tumble of a journey to Urinetown.
So take that, people.
Exactly, yeah.
Lock, Stock, and Barrel, played by John D. Nolden and Daniel Howey, with backing vocals by people who are actually probably standing in as cops, I imagine, yes. We had a bunch of the leads here. Kate Myers, Adrian Rochelle, Emma Squire, Quinn Murphy, and Victor Muscovias.
I'll take it.
At the piano is the music director for this production of Urinetown, Colin Murphy, and stage director, who has been with us as well, Tim Broker. And the show opens on June 13th, a Thursday, ends on Sunday the 23rd. And you can get more information by going to cutc.org. Well, if you guys are any representation, it should be a good show. Well cast.
Thank you very much.
Congratulations, everybody, and I hope it all goes well.
Thank you.
It's Live and Local on FM 90.9. Here are some of the other events you can see and hear live over the next few days. The Peoria Bach Festival continues through Sunday. Lots of events going on. Check their website for a complete schedule. The Old Fashions are at Walnut Street Winery in Rochester this evening at 7 o'clock. Coming up in just a few minutes, it's Krannert Uncorked with the High Cotton Bluegrass Band at Krannert Center in Urbana, 5 o'clock. The musical Fiddler on the Roof is the current production at the Little Theater on the Square in Sullivan tonight, tomorrow, and Saturday at 7:30. And looking for the rest of the times, I think there's a matinee. Sunday matinee at 2 o'clock. An Evening with Your Mother is at the Cowboy Monkey in Champaign. Whoops, that was that earlier today, wasn't it?
No, that was late tonight.
Yeah.
Announce that.
Colin is in. You're still in that group, I gather.
Yes, I am.
11:30. He's one of the guitarists in that group.
I sing and play guitar.
11:30, late night show. Olivia Flanagan is at the Iron Post in Urbana this evening at 7 o'clock. Kilbourne Alley Blues Band at Shady Nook Pub in Saybrook tonight at 7:30. The Celebration Company at the Station Theater in Urbana is presenting Superior Donuts. Performances at 8 o'clock through Sunday, I believe. Check their schedule, their website for complete schedule. The Blue Jays play Bluegrass at Soho in Springfield tomorrow night at 7:30. It's Peter Case with Dan Hubbard at the High Dive in Champaign tomorrow night, 7:30. The Monticello Theater Company at the Phoenix Theater in Monticello present The Hallelujah Girls, Friday and Saturday at 7:30. Some jazz in the area, Chris Bate Trio, followed by the Aduki Quartet are at Bouvons in Urbana Friday at 6 and then at 9. The Prairie Dogs are at the Iron Post in Urbana tomorrow evening at 5 o'clock. It's Jazz in June at Allerton Park in Monticello with the Chip McNeil Quartet at 6 o'clock tomorrow evening. I'm not exactly sure I have that time right, but that's what it says here. And in fact, Chip McNeil Quartet will be live on Live and Local tomorrow. The Big Creek Guitar Band are at the Pink House in Ogden tomorrow evening at 5 o'clock. Same location for the Diva and the Dude Saturday at 5 o'clock. Steinway artists Aldo and Judy Mancinelli are at the Hoagland Center for the Arts in Springfield, Friday night at 7 o'clock. And it's the Reverend Robert Trio at Village Wine and Spirits in Effingham tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. I've skipped plenty. Oh, here's one. The Big Idea, as they build themselves modern folk Americana at Donnie's Homespun in Decatur tomorrow night at 9 o'clock. You're listening to 90.9 WYLL FM and HD Urbana with translator W293 AF Danville, NPR Classical Music and More for Central Illinois. We're a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois, along with the Chip McNeil Quartet. We'll also be featuring tomorrow at least one half of the duo who are going to be doing some of Judy Garland's famous duets at the Hoagland Center in Springfield on Sunday. Looking forward to hearing about that. Stay tuned next for All Things Considered from NPR coming up in about 20 seconds.